KCIM Sports presents the Pizza Ranch Saturday Morning Coaches Show with Sports Director Jeff Blankman.
Thank you very much, John. Good Saturday morning, everybody. Welcome here on the Pizza Ranch at Coaches Show. Jeff Blankman hanging out with you here. We've got four coaches joining us today. Ryan Steinkamp, the head football coach with the Kemmer Knights, going to talk to us about their win over OABCIG last night, and we'll take a peek at the game coming up this coming Friday night against Cherokee as well. Mason Nealon's going to sit down with Coach. I've got Craig Rowetter with the Carroll football team. They fell last night. Their season came to an end. We'll talk with Coach Rowetter about that game, and we'll also recap the season with him coming up here as well. Rusty Wintermote with the Kemper volleyball team. Of course, they're headed down to the state volleyball tournament coming up this week. We'll take a look at their wins last week and preview the game with a Red Oak coming up on Saturday. And Deb Danner, the Carroll girls swim coach, also going to be joining us. They had a nice performance beating Perry and Algona earlier this week. We'll recap that with her as well. But as always, we're going to start off with the scores from last night. We'll start in Class 2A in Pod A, where Kemper again beat OABCIG 26-15. They'll take on Cherokee coming up on Friday night on KCIM's. Cherokee defeated Unity Christian 40-14. Elsewhere in 2A and Pod B, it was Prairie City Monroe over Pella Christian 45-31. Wilton defeated West Branch 30-7. In Pod C, Mid Prairie topped Mediapolis 46-0. Van Meter got by Roland Story 24-14. In Pod D, Osage beat Hampton Dumont 27-7. It was Albernette over Waukon 34-16. In Class 3A and Pod A, Carroll Falls to Nevada 21-14. It was Clear Lake shutting out Mount Vernon 41-0. Pod B, Solon over Benton 31-6. Winterset takes it to Indiana Independence 28-6. In Pod C, West Delaware over Mount Pleasant 35-21. Wallert shuts out Central DeWitt 33-0. Pod D, Heelan, Bishop Heelan over Atlantic 28-6. And it was Sioux Center defeating Des Moines Christian. The final there was 28-10. We move to 8-man. Now Audubon advances to the quarterfinals. They'll head to Iowa Valley Thursday night. We'll have that game for everybody on 93.7 at KKRL. Audubon shutting out Montezuma last night 82-0. It was Iowa Valley beating Janesville 63-0. Elsewhere in Pod A, Bishop Garrigan beat North Union 50-15. Don Bosco cruises by Clarksville 69-32. Pod B, Woodbine shuts out Southeast Warren 68-0. Fremont Mills downs Bedford 40-28. And in Pod C, it was Gladbrook Rhinebeck over Easton Valley 56-6, and Edgewood Colesburg knocked off Turkey Valley 34-12. Some of the scores from Class 1A last night: West Lyon and Pod A beat Lawton Bronson 63-7. Underwood down West Marshall. The final there was 42-21. In Pod B, it was Grundy Center over Clarion Goldfield. Now it's 42-7. Also in Pod D, South Hardin shuts out Ridgeview 20-0, and Trainer gets by Hinton 35-12. You can find full scores from all of the playoff games on the New Way Ford live scoreboard from last night. That scoreboard page that we update throughout the night, that is posted with all of the scores from last night. In Class A, MMCRU beat Galen Catholic 37-0. Woodbury Central shut out Madrid 21-0. In Pod C, it was ACGC over Mount Air 21-7. West Sioux defeated Sibley O'Sheen 31-19. In Class 4A last night, in Pod A, Xavier beat Waverly Sharrock 47-0. ADM tops at North Scott 27-24. Pod B, Gilbert over Lewis Central 27-24. Newton routes Fort Dodge 51-7. Pod C, Sergeant Bluff Luton over Lamar's 42-7. It was also at North Polk topping Glenwood 33-21. And a few of the 5A scores last night as well. It was Dowling beating Waterloo West 44-6. It was Iowa City West over Cedar Falls 38-31. Dallas Center Grimes falling to Sioux City East at 28-19, and defending champion at Southeast Polk over Ankeny 21-14. Valley beat Cedar Rapids Prairie last night as well. The final there 26-20. And again, a full list of all of the scores from last night is available online at sports.1380kcim.com. We'll step away. Ryan Steinkamp, the head coach from the Kemmer Knights, set to join us next here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show.
Hey, moms and dads out there, let Pizza Ranch make feeding your family fun and affordable. Every Tuesday night, kids 12 and under eat free Whether they love the pizza, chicken, or mac and cheese, you'll make them all happy. When you're on the go with sports, church, or, well, just life, come in for a quick and delicious buffet. The best part is, they'll do the dishes. Pizza Ranch makes family meals fun and fast. For delivery or carryout, call 792-3456. Pizza Ranch, just off Highway 30 in Carroll.
Oh, that's good.
It's the spookiest three-day sale ever at Hy-Vee today through Sunday. How about Simply Done Softener Salt, two for $13.99, or 7-Up Soda 6-Packs, just $2.99, and Hy-Vee Boneless Pork Loin Chops, just 88 cents for a 4-ounce chop. Scary good savings today through Sunday at your Carroll Hy-Vee.
Mason Nealon here on the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show, joined by Kemper head football coach Ryan Steinkamp. Coach, it's a pleasure always joining you here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Mason.
So you guys take care of business on Friday yet again there. I wanted to ask first, I mean, you guys, I know you're outside and looking at the climate there and stuff. How do you prepare for a game that is going to be a little bit colder than what you guys are used to?
You know, we practice that kind of time of day. You know, like, I don't think that's too big a factor. The kids are ready to go, and overall it's played really good team football.
For you guys, I know you spent a little bit of time at the field house kind of talking things over and getting ready with the guys there. What are kind of the pregame conversations before you actually head to the field?
A lot of it's just going through things. You know, it's getting our mindsets right, getting our confidence right. You know, it's really that willingness to together as a team. You know, we always talk about communication as a lot, too. Communicating, make sure everybody's on the same page. That's one of the big things that we focus on.
And then I know when you guys got to the field, I was standing there, and the one thing that kind of struck with me was you looked at the boys and you said, once you cross this, there's no going back there. Take with me kind of what that means and what that means for you as a coach as well as the players.
Yeah, we talked about, you know, we worry about inside the track. You know, we worry about us each week, too. You know, we can't control what we can't control, so we just kind of focus on, you know, Kemper football, but us getting better each week, too. What can we do better? How can you improve each week is kind of our main focus.
And then for this week, I mean, take me through that first quarter there. I know it was kind of close early for you guys there. What did you feel like OABCIG came out with?
Yeah, I mean, they're a really talented team, too. I was really proud of our defense that first quarter and our offense, especially the O-line. I thought they had a great night, too. Really proud of those guys.
For that O-line as well, I mean, you get Preston Vanami back there. What does Preston mean to that front five?
Yeah, he's a really good center. I mean, he's really smart. He's kind of the leader out there, too, the communicator, getting everybody on the same page. You know, kind of lines guys up, too. So really, really proud and happy with how he played tonight.
When you look at the type of team that you guys were playing, to see a team twice there and to be able to beat a team twice, what did you feel like the guys needed to do to be able to go out there and be successful?
We kind of talk about how, like, all year long, you know, we talk about being 0-0. Like, we kind of talk about the last game. You know, it didn't happen. We can learn from it, but it doesn't mean anything. Like, obviously, OABCG is a really good team. They've improved a lot since the first time we played, too. But we talk about how we've gotten better. We got things to work on. This is our focus this week, those type of things.
I know in the first matchup around there, the kind of problem that you guys had early was that OABCIG got out to a hot start in the run game here. This time around, do you feel like you guys were a little bit better about shutting that down early?
Yeah, we know that, you know, they have capable of big plays in the pass game, but, you know, they want to establish a run game, too. I think that happening, we kind of put them in passing downs. It definitely helped out our defense a little bit.
And then over the top a couple times there, I know that you guys had a little bit of pass struggles there, but then you kind of bounced back with a couple of interceptions as well. What were the talks like with the secondary worth the defense as well?
Yeah, we talked about, you know, just keeping the ball in front of them. You know, I thought that the DBs played really well, too. I thought Brex and Vanami had a really good night. Griffin Glenn had a good night. So we talked about just, you know, keeping the ball in front of them, make them drive the field, don't give up those big plays type deal.
And then I know, again, I talked about this with you in our Friday night scoreboard show. Jaron Huffman not playing in this game here. Talen Alford coming in for him. Do you feel like Talen kind of picked up where Jaron left off?
You know, Taylor's a whole different person. He did a great job, too. You know, he's gotten some reps in practice throughout the season. I have a few reps in the games, too, but really proud of how he played tonight, too. And he's excited for the role, too, and just he did an overall great job.
And then to end that first half there, what were the talks going like into halftime for you guys?
We talked about, you know, being 0-0. I know we were up a little bit, but we said, like, our goal is to win the second half, too. That's all we can control. If we treat it like a brand-new ball game, we put ourselves in a good situation.
So when you talk about being 0-0 there, do you break that down like you're going 0-0 as a record going into the game and then 0-0 at halftime, go win every little milestone?
Yeah, we talk about, you know, like, hey, we want to win. Obviously, we want to win the game, but we talk about, hey, we want to win every play. We want to win every drive, the series, you know, the quarters. Like, you start breaking it down, too, and it just makes it a lot more manageable for the kids, too. And they do a great job of responding to that.
And then kind of one of your leaders on offense there, Brock Bating. Talk to me a little bit how you felt like Brock played against OABCIG the second time around.
Yeah, he had a great night. I don't think he had any crazy numbers too, but his leadership, you know, he was cheering guys on, you know, making some good calls and checks like that too. Just, you know, his experience and leadership really came through tonight.
And with that experience and leadership under center, do you feel like that kind of helps a little bit as a coach, that you have a guy out there that can almost be like a second coach for you?
Yeah, absolutely. He does a great job of that. You know, like, and we're always honest with each other too. And like, we all get on the same page, and that makes a big difference.
For you guys now, Cherokee, Washington won their first round as well, or their second round as well. They're going to come back here to the Carroll Athletic Stadium. Take me through kind of that first time you played Cherokee now compared to what you feel like they're going to bring this week.
Yeah, you know, they're a really talented team, really good team. You know, that game was a long time ago. All we can do is learn from it and then get ready for them all over again.
And then with that, is the preparation going to be like looking at film against that game as well, or looking at some common opponents? What's kind of the mix that you guys are going to bring out there?
Yeah, we'll definitely look at that game just to learn from it. But then too, but yeah, learn, like, teams change so much of the season. You know, different players, different plays. You know, teams develop throughout the season. So we'll definitely you know, treat them as 0-0 and get ready for the game.
For you guys as well, I was kind of standing there next to your post-game huddle there, and I know you guys talk about building the house there. Can you take me through what that means for this team?
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, it all starts with the foundation too. You can't build one story to build another one too. So it's one step, one process at a time. You know, you can have big goals, but it doesn't matter if you ignore the smaller goals in front of it.
I gotta ask then, where's the house looking right now? What floor are we on for that house?
Well, I'm kind of talking to guys too, like, you know, the house can't get a lot bigger, but we got fine-tune things too. You know, there's a lot of parts of the house I need help with. You know, there's paint, there's trim, there's all things outside of it too. So we talk to the guys like, hey, this time of year we got fine-tune things and bring our best.
For Cherokee, Washington, I know that game, you know, you look at a team that you beat early in the season and you've been there and done that, but do you feel like with the stakes that are on the line there, the guys need to be extra focused going into this matchup?
Yeah, I think we kind of talked to guys who, like, know us treating every opponent like they're 0-0 too. Like, this is another game. We're going to scout them the same. We're going to practice the same too. And, you know, we can learn from the first time we play them too. But, you know, we got to get better by ourselves.
And I know you like to, we talk about this, you know, you take it one game at a time, one opponent at a time here. Do you think the guys have kind of looked and said, you know, our goal is right there. We need to just go accomplish it now by beating Cherokee next week?
Yeah, that's our next opponent too, so they'll be locked in, ready to go.
For you guys here as well, I know Cherokee early, did you feel like they succeeded in the pass game or the rush game?
I think a little more run-heavy team too. Now, they're capable of passing. They have some good skill players too, but they have a good quarterback, good running back.
And then I know your guys' defensive line has kind of come on as late, guys like Jack Bating out there. Do you think that you guys are a little prepared as well for that rush game come Friday night next week?
Yeah, I mean, it'll take some practice. You know, we got to get the film. There's definitely things that we did. We put ourselves in bad situations last night, too. Well, we got to learn from it and grow from it, too. But that comes to preparation. And I love about the kids is, you know, they're willing and hungry to learn, and how can they get better.
What are you looking for these boys to take away from the OABCIG game?
It's like, you can tell them, you know, nothing's going to be easier. You know, it's going to be gritty games. You know, we used to kind of talk like whatever it takes, you know, next guy in, just play hard, play gritty, and just go out there and have fun and play together, enjoy it.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the big win last night there. We're hoping to see you guys do the same thing next Friday.
Absolutely. Mason, thanks for having me.
That was Head Coach Ryan Steinkamp here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. We'll be right back in just a little bit.
I'm Dee Swenson, and I am running to be the next mayor of Carroll. I am deeply dedicated to our community and passionate about helping Carroll grow and thrive. As your mayor, I will ensure your voice is heard through clear, open communication and transparent leadership. Together, we can build a stronger, more connected Carroll. I am asking for your vote on November the 4th. Together, we are Carroll. Thank you. I'm Dee Swenson, candidate for mayor.
Paid for by Carroll Citizens for Common Sense Government.
Hey, moms and dads out there. Let Pizza Ranch make feeding your family fun and affordable. Every Tuesday night, kids 12 and under eat free. Whether they love the pizza, chicken, or mac and cheese, you'll make them all happy. When you're on the go with sports, church, or, well, just life, come in for a quick and delicious buffet. The best part is, they'll do the dishes. Pizza Ranch makes family meals fun and fast. For delivery or carryout, call 792-3456. Pizza Ranch, just off Highway 30 in Carroll.
Oh, that's good.
Jeff Langman is joined here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show by Craig Rowetter, of course, the head football coach with the Carroll Tigers. They wrap up another fantastic season, going 6-4, falling on Friday night in the first round of the 3A playoffs to Nevada 21-14. Coach, as always, good to catch up with you. Appreciate you giving us some time, as you always do.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
You bet, Coach. I know I talked with you last night for the scoreboard show, and, you know, everybody disappointed with the way that one finished out last night as you end up losing by 7. But that was a good football game. That was two really good football teams that squared off.
Yeah, I think we were, you know, pretty evenly matched, and it's cliche, but usually, you know, if whoever tackles the best and doesn't turn the ball over usually comes out on top, especially in the postseason. So, you know, looking at the scores from last night, our game was in 3A anyway. We were the only one-score game. You know, it's kind of a lot of lopsided scores out there. So, you know, we were on the short end, but at least those in attendance saw a competitive football game.
Yeah, a cold night out or a chilly night anyway, and I'm sure nobody felt it because of how good that football game was and how close it was all game long. There was excitement. Coach, I kind of got the sense last night in talking with you that they didn't really do anything that surprised you guys or caught you guys off guard. What you saw on film coming into the game is kind of what you saw last night from Nevada.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that was true on both sides. I think, you know, and that's what I said, you know, in our staff meetings, too. You know, if this is, you know, what got dance with the girl that brought you, right? So if, you know, you have your identity, and all good teams do, and it's kind of, it would be silly to, you know, get to the playoffs and then all of a sudden switch everything from what you've been successful all season long. So not a lot of surprises, you know, just, you know, they were as good as advertised up front defensively. Usually we were able to kind of handle a three-man front without too much issue, but they did a nice job kind of stretching it out, and they really brought those linebackers with a lot of pressure. So it kept our run game, you know, at bay for the most part, but we were still able to catch them here and there.
Coach, I almost felt like the beginning part of the game was two heavyweights kind of feeling each other out with the defenses, kind of throwing some haymakers if they could. The first quarter to me just felt like it was going to be maybe a kind of a defensive struggle all game long.
Yeah, it was, you know, two teams that were well scouted, and you didn't really want to make the big, you know, mistake either. So it was kind of, I don't want to say conservative, but it was a little bit, you know, as far as just to kind of see maybe if what we were seeing on film, you know, and I think that was on both sides, just making sure that what you saw on film was matching up with what was live in person.
Coach, the Henson kid came in throwing the football pretty well. I think he was 1 of 6 or 2 of 7, something like that, to start. What did you guys do defensively, or how were you able to have so much success against him and kind of shutting him down with a good receiving core?
We just, you know, like I said, our secondary was really young. I shouldn't even say young. Just inexperienced coming into the season, and we took some lumps early on. But again, they've gotten better every week, and even some of the catches they had, we were right there, even watching, you know, back on the film, just a, you know, a hand in the way here or there, or, you know, one more step to run with them, and we were right there. So I think twofold, and then we did get some pressure on him. Heck, I think the one touchdown they had right before the half, Michael was through there and put him right on his backside, you know, and he threw a right onto the, you know, for a touchdown. So credit to their quarterback. He stood in there and took a beating a couple times, but, you know, and what good quarterbacks have to do that once in a while, but he was as good as advertised.
What were they trying to attack with Waldero on the edge? It seemed like that was the area that they really wanted to run the football last night.
Well, just kind of how we had them schemed a little bit. If they would have, you know, to their two receiver side, if we were going to man them up and they kind of ran us, would run them off. And then it was basically you only had Ty holding down the fort on the backside. And, you know, Michael would kind of scrape over the top. But really it was just those two. So we were a little outnumbered with the scheme we wanted. But they really hadn't run to that weak side too often or not. So, and we were pretty comfortable with Ty. He's
he's pretty much held down that whole side of the field all season long. So it wasn't like we really thought we were at a disadvantage with just having Ty and Michael over there.
Outstanding interception from Matt Collison last night and stuff that puts you up 7-0. They answer right away to tie it at 7, and then you guys break off the big touchdown run. I think it was a 42-yarder, if I remember right, from Adam Malik. You're up 14-7 late in the half. You guys start a drive. I think it was at your own 6. You get out to about midfield with just over 2 minutes to go. Did you guys feel like you were kind of setting them up? Was it a field goal, the thought, or did you think you could get to the end zone there and maybe stretch that into a 2-score game going into half?
Yeah, we were going to try and score. You know, the same deal as the series before that. You know, I think it was only a 2-play series. We hit him with Michael up the middle on our just a dive play out of our wing T set, and then they had to kind of start respecting the inside run. So that's when Adam was able to break free on that sweep and make a couple guys miss, and off to the races. So we kind of had that feeling as far as well. First, we just wanted to get out of the end zone, backed up to the 6, and but we thought too we had just good of luck probably as for Adam breaking another long one as we did if we really wanted to air it out. But it was we were definitely looking to go touchdowns, not field goals there at the end.
Coach, you have the turnover there at midfield, and they turn that into a touchdown with 7 seconds left in the half. You go in tied. I felt like that swung momentum in their side. They get the ball first to start the third. They march down the field and score to go up 21-14. You guys had a couple of chances. You had an interception in the end zone. I think you said last night there might have been a little miscommunication on that one a little bit, and you can talk about that if you want. But it's not that you guys didn't have chances there in the second half to get that game tied.
Yeah, we in a couple opportunities. That was one where we just got to kind of, and it was a coverage thing. We the way it looked, their safety was kind of covering our tight end, so we thought we'd sneak the wing over across the middle, and we just went a little deeper and kind of almost ran into the official and kind of dodged him, so it didn't quite mesh up right. And and then even towards the end, when we had the ball with going north there, the fourth down, we got the look we wanted. We had to, send the 3 verts and then put Malik out in the flats, and the linebacker stayed shallow with Adam like we thought, and just overshot Chase, on that vertical route. But if, that ball was a little bit lower, I think Chase hauls that one in for, what would have been the tying touchdown.
Yeah, that last drive, I kind of got the sense that you guys wanted to, of course, score and tie it up, but you also didn't want to leave them much time because with their deep passing ability, they could have maybe struck quickly. So was that the thought process, is, hey, we're just going to kind of march down, chew up clock, and get this thing tied and not give them much time to try and score here before the end of the game and send it to overtime?
No, we were trying to score. I thought if we could get that in, we didn't have enough time. I think there was only just under 3 minutes, maybe.
Yep.
At that point, so that was the plan going into halftime before half, as we were trying to get that clock down and get points in before and kind of working the clock that way. But at that point in the game, no, we were just trying to get in the dang end zone.
Coach, a tough one last night. Again, 21-14, that final, as they're able to run out the clock. I thought they had a nice play on that second down where they rolled the tight end out and found him in the flat. I didn't think they would throw the football, so they certainly caught me off guard, and that one kind of sealed it for them. But as you look back on this season, as we're going to kind of recap it a little bit, you had told me before in the summertime when we would chat every now and when we would see each other at maybe a baseball or a softball game or something, that you felt like you'd have a good ball club, but you knew those four preseason games and pre-district games were not going to be easy. 1-3 during that stretch, but the biggest loss was an 8-point loss to Spencer. You lose by 5 to Gilbert. You lose by 1 at Lewis Central, who's a bigger school as well. So you guys kind of showed everybody in the non-district how good of a football team this was going to be.
Yeah, and to be honest, I wasn't 100% sure how really good we were going to be. you know, with only having two starters back on offense and three, you know, maybe four if you count Michael, as far as he started a couple for us as a junior season. But, you know, we had graduated a really good group of seniors. We knew we had the talent, you know, to be good. We just, it was to be seen how the group of seniors this year were going to step up and lead, and really couldn't ask for much more out of them. But, you know, by the end of it, I told them last night at the end, there's not a, you know, I'd take that group to battle any day. And I really did think, you know, I told the parents on senior night, you know, this group, don't want to say it means, well, it kind of just means a little more having your son in that group.
Yep.
Our Achilles heel, I always thought with them, was a little immaturity. If things went sideways and it kind of would turn, not really a joke, but then they'd try to laugh it off instead of buckle down and get to work. And, you know, that was my fear when I saw the non-district schedule. If we'll see how, you know, much they grow up in a year. And, man, they nailed it. They, you know, nobody was having anything to do with losing, you know, those first, especially after the week one, it was get down to work, here we go, buckle up and be ready to fight and keep going. And, you know, I think just the maturity level of the seniors, even within a year, they really, you know, stepped up, and hopefully those underclassmen, you know, recognize that, and they kind of lay the blueprint moving forward for what it takes to be successful.
You guys did get humbled as your win in that non-district, 34-33. You start off with Harlan. You end up topping them 33-28. Out of those two wins, Coach, was one of those two your best game, your best win of the season, do you think?
I don't. The humble one was a little, I don't want to say surprising, but because we had, you know, dropped that one to Spencer by eight, and Humble had just kind of wiped the field with them in week one. So, and I think Humble was maybe a little overconfident coming in knowing that. So I think Humble maybe, you know, for the athletes they had on the field, and just from an outsider's perspective, I don't think they kind of saw what was coming. That was probably that's when we knew we were a pretty physical team. You know, Humboldt kind of reminded me defensively what Nevada had. Nevada was a little bit stronger up front on the D-line, but kind of the same scheme. And that's when we didn't really rep it much, but that's when we kind of went under center and, you know, with Adam and Michael back there.
Yep.
Really kind of gave us a 1-2 at them, and that set us up for Lewis Central, you know, as far as, you know, you would have, again, I'm not a big gambler, but I think he would have lost quite a bit of money if you said that we were going to run for what we did against, you know, I think Malik was over 200 yards and against Lewis Central. And that was, again, that was a loss. But after that game, we knew we probably had something pretty special.
You guys get Harlan, as I mentioned, 33-28. You run the table the rest of the way, a couple of shutouts. You cruise by Greene County, kind of dominate Creston. You handle Perry with pretty good ease. You run into Atlantic then, that you both teams coming in undefeated. That was just a week ago, week nine, and that was a big win, 35-7. They were never really quite challenging you guys in that game. So what a run through the district. What's going to be the memory for you about that district title?
I think week nine, you know, being it was senior night, you can't really, especially with a son that's a senior, the opportunity to win the district on senior night, that's probably, you know, and going back to your question on if the Humboldt game or the Harlan game, I mean, the Atlanta game, I think, was probably, you know, being that was for the district title, and we had two teams that, at the time, they had the number one rushing running back for yardage-wise in Class 3A, and we had the number two. So, you know, we kind of challenged, let's see who the better running, you know, who's yep. more physical and who's the better running team. And our guys answered the bell, you know, with flying colors that we just kind of, again, a couple turnovers really set up their one score. Otherwise, it was pretty much a statement game for how physical we could be up front.
16 seniors, I think, Coach, on this group. And I know it's going to mean a lot to you. As you said, Michael, one of those, your son, and you've probably known all of these kids, you know, since they were even maybe before kindergarten. So this group, it's probably one of the most special senior groups you're going to have.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's something. Man, I was, this is year 21 coaching, you know, between over in Jefferson and here in Carroll. And that's what I said on senior night. I could even remember, you know, just sitting in the gym, listening to the parents talk about the seniors when I was an assistant defensive coordinator. And you're like, well, it's, you know, it's pretty cool tradition. And at the time, Michael's like 4 years old, so it doesn't really hit. And then, you know, about right before I got the head job, all of a sudden Michael's in eighth grade, and it's like, oh, another, you know, getting closer, and all of a sudden, fast forward for you, and all of a sudden now he's a senior. So it flew, but, you know, when we lived in town, too, we were right kind of down there on Main Street between Moyer Oberding and Matt Collison. We're always, they kind of ran the neighborhood and had those guys in my house since, you know, they were in kindergarten, so... yeah, a special group of seniors. You know, favorite part was they just, it's not, they don't just do football. You know, they, right. As much as it sucks football being over, you know, I think they're going to have a heck of a wrestling season, coming up with a lot of, you know, it was kind of a little unique. I guess all the captains are wrestlers and, you know, between Quentin and Kieran and Michael and Gavin, and I think, you know, Carson Tedrow is another one. They'll probably have a big winter season, and then on the flip side, you got some really good basketball players too with
yep.
with Mac and Landon, you know, and so I just it's special that they're not just football players. They're
right.
You know, and for Carroll to be successful, we're gonna need these kids to be involved in a lot, and I hope juniors take note of that too. Is you know, I don't want one sport football guys. I want multi-sport guys that are going to represent our, not only our football program, but, you know, Carroll Community Schools in a positive way. I think that's the thing I'm the most proud of this group of seniors is they're involved in a lot of things.
You sound like every college coach I talk to wanting multi-sport athletes. Coach, you're losing a great group of seniors, but there's some special kids coming back. Lincoln Burke played well for you. Trayvon Childress, that kid, he's dangerous every time he touches the ball and kick returns. And, you know, you got Adam Malik coming back as well. So there's some building blocks already in place for next season, at least in skill position and across the front line as well. So what do the guys coming back, the juniors and sophomores and even the freshmen that are going to maybe see the field as sophomores next year, what do they need to do in the off season?
Play multi-sports. You know, there's no substitution for competing.
Yep.
I mean, that's my biggest thing is, yeah, okay, you can find some trainers somewhere or something and just try to be a football guy, but you know, just competing. And not only that, just competing with your teammates.
Yep.
Like, you know, they know they can count on you in another sport. If it, maybe, you know, sport B isn't your number one sport, but it is your buddy's number one sport. Go help them out, be successful. And, you know, that's it. Because, yeah, on paper, you know, coming, nobody really, if you weren't within our program, nobody really knew what to expect, you know, out of us with what we graduated. Well, now there's a lot of key, you know, a lot of juniors played some really key roles this last season on both sides of the ball. And so on paper, we're going to have, you know, the stats to back up, like, oh, Carroll might get some recognition in the preseason stuff. But, you know, it doesn't take too good of a memory. Just remember, you know, we had some guy, I still remember Gavin Holt being all torqued off preseason that we were getting no,
yep.
no love. And I was like, just keep it in. It's all right. You know, we'll get noticed when we need to. And so, yeah, I think, you know, my biggest thing to them is just compete in everything we do and obviously get faster and stronger, you know, just to be able to compete at the state level.
Well, Coach, as always, I always enjoy chatting with you. So appreciate you joining us here tonight and today to kind of recap the season and look back at last night's game. I wish I had a couple of more weeks with you at least. But thank you for everything. You always get us results. You always do all these interviews. And you're always gracious to us here at Carroll Broadcasting. So we thank you very, very much for everything. And we look forward to catching up with you here in the off season.
Yeah, you bet. And again, I know I say it throughout the year, but I really appreciate all the stuff you guys do as far as coverage and for all our area athletes. I think a lot of people take it for granted and don't realize how spoiled they are with the coverage you give all of our area kids. So as a coach and as a father, you know, it's appreciated. And I'm sure, like I said, come Monday morning or come Monday after school, I'll be a junior high wrestling coach, and then you'll blink and it'll be track season. So I'm sure we'll be catching up as the off season rolls on. But again, appreciate everything you guys do, and go Tigers.
You bet. Head coach Craig Rowetter again with the Carroll Tigers. We'll be back with more of the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show here on KCIM.
I am Charles Svensson, and I'm running for the Carroll County School Board. I believe our school system should be run with common sense and a strong financial focus, ensuring every dollar is spent to directly benefit our students. I also want to be a sounding board for the teachers who are on the front lines of our children's education and make decisions that support their efforts and create the best possible learning environment. I certainly would appreciate your vote between now and November 4th. Thank you.
Paid for by Carroll Citizens for Common Sense Government.
You know, some people think buying a used car is risky.
Risky? Not at Champion Ford and Carroll. Our certified pre-owned vehicles are covered. And I mean really covered.
You're right. These rides come with 3 months or 3,000 miles of bumper-to-bumper protection.
Plus, 7 years or 100,000 miles of powertrain coverage. That's like car armor.
And every certified vehicle goes through a full multi-point inspection.
Translation, peace of mind, and no surprises.
Exactly. Champion Ford and Carroll. Where everybody wins.
Pizza Ranch Coaches Show rolling on here on this Saturday morning. Jeff Blankman joined right now by Rusty Wintermode. Of course, he is the head coach for the Kemperknight volleyball team as they make their fourth straight trip down to the state tournament, knocking off Unity Christian in the regional final on, Tuesday night, Coach? Almost forgot what night it was you played, but appreciate you joining us here, and congratulations on that win on Tuesday night.
Well, I appreciate it. Like I said, anytime you guys are there, it's always a good luck charm, and we certainly needed your good luck and your positive voice to carry us through and set 4-5 and 1 and but what an atmosphere, what a
yes,
what an opportunity for the kids to feel that, because when you leave high school you don't always get to see that. You got to pay for your own tickets when you leave high school and you don't play anymore. But Unity Christian and brought a ton of kids and fans, and our fans kind of flowed over to their side and up top. And, the hoot of the whole thing is that in between sets, and I think I told you that, in between sets I go get a drink down below, and I would just have a talking session with the Unity Christian student section, and we'd talk about their football game coming up. And I just tried to make sure they were on my side a little bit, that they didn't hoot and holler right behind our bench. But it was just, again, what an awesome atmosphere and what an opportunity for the kids to show off their talent for everybody that was there that night.
And that you mentioned that. I noticed during the national anthem, not that your girls weren't focused on the flag, but right before it started, they were kind of looking around. I think they were soaking in how big that crowd was. That had to help you guys through some of the tougher parts of the match.
Well, I think it did, because, again, they kind of I could tell a little bit that they were feeding off, especially in game one, they fed off a little bit of what the crowd was making noises about. But the one thing I noticed is that in set two and three, when we lost those, I could tell that they were trying to find a way to fire each other up. And I always worried them, because both crowds had a lot of loud noises, like, I'm having a hard time talking to the coaches here.
Right.
You can only imagine in the huddle when you got in the middle of the floor and you got both sides just screaming, are they hearing each other? But you could just tell Yeah, I think they enjoyed it, and I think they soaked it in as far as playing it with that noise. But I saw a lot better communication in how they were looking at each other in the eye, because sometimes when you can't hear each other, you got to get close, you got to look at each other so you know you're hearing each other. And that was a great thing to see, how much they would tighten up their circle, remind each other. You had that video of the last play. When it happened, it was just, to me, it was deafening on the noise.
Right.
And the kids running out there and kids trying to celebrate. When you were down on the court and you felt it, boy, you didn't lock anything out. You just absorbed it yourself, but you tried to celebrate as well, too. But as far as your question, I think the girls fed off of it, but that was only in the first set. In the fourth set, I think, yes, but I think they were hearing it in themselves versus hearing the crowd. And then the fifth was just a momentum from what they felt like they were doing and their excitement in their mind, and they're screaming at each other for joy. And so the crowd started it, but I believe the girls finished it within themselves.
Coach, we're going to get to that fifth set here in a moment, because that one was kind of back and forth late. You had a lead, then you fell behind and looked like you're in a little trouble, and then you go on a 4-0 run. We'll kind of break that down here in a moment. But I got to ask, Tuesday night to me was a strange night for a match between two teams that I really believe are good enough to have met down at the state tournament. I think, Unity Christian, like you guys, outstanding teams. Have you ever been involved in one with two teams that appear to be so evenly matched, but three of the five sets were not close, that one team kind of dominated them, and then there was the two close sets in set two and set five that, helped determine who was going to go? But I'm not used to seeing kind of three almost dominant sets and two close ones. Usually two teams that are so comparable, if you go five, it's kind of five close sets. Maybe one gets away from somebody, but not three total.
Oh, I would agree. No, I did not. When we won that first set, it's like, no, this is not how I think it's going to be, because it wasn't easy, but it was like we're on a flow, and it's like we've got to find a way to keep them out of a flow. But I've never been involved where it was in that type of scoring realm where we dominated and we had a close one, they dominated. It was close, so we took care of them, and then it got close. So really, take away the two sets, three of them were, I could have gone either way, especially game two, but no, never as an official, when I was a volleyball official, I've been involved in that.
Yep.
But never when it gets to a final to get to state, I think I mentioned to you, visiting with the Unity Christian coach, before everything was, got started, they come and we talk and introduce each other and just kind of shoot the breeze and kind of like farmers on the side of the road. My only comment to her at the end before I walked away from her was, I said, you know what? I said, number six, number seven, I really think we're very equally matched. I said, whoever comes out of this, and I'm going to pray it's us, and I know you're going to pray it's you. I said, but whoever comes out of this is really, really setting themselves up to show that you're going to be competitive that next week when you go down to face, the top eight teams in the state. And even at the end when we shook hands, we shook hands, we held hands for a little bit, and we just said, we were right about what we talked about. And she said, you are spot on. I think the matches could have gone either way. And, God bless you guys. Good luck to you downstate. And we'll be rooting you on, because it's one of those things, if we would have lost, I would have cheered on, even though Red Oak's down there, I would have cheered on Unity to try and take that whole thing, because that would have made us look a lot better. And
yep,
that was her exact comment to me. Go down there and do it for our region, because we're going to be cheering you on. And, they're right there by Western Christian. It's like, that was a cool conversation before and after. So it was one of those nights you got to experience a lot of different ups and downs, but conversations between two teams, I think, really had a lot of respect for what their abilities were.
Coach, let's bounce to the fifth set here before we kind of talk a little bit of it as a whole. You guys get out to the early lead. They kind of hang around, and then they get back-to-back aces to tie it and take an 11-10 lead. They've got all of the momentum. You call a timeout. What was said? You come out of that. You go on to run. Andy Antover, I think, tied it, if I remember right, with a kill. And then Elsa Tiefenthaler, who probably her or Mia Milligan, who is you want back at the service line at the end. Elsa goes back to serve and serves two aces to end it at 15-11. But you looked like you were in a little trouble there for a moment, just a brief moment there in set five.
Well, a little bit, because the coaches, even when it was, I think we were up 9 or 10-9, and they're like, "Coach, do we need to call a timeout?" I said, "No. These kids are going to figure it out, and they're going to win this, because they're not looking over us for help. They know what they're going to do." And so when they pulled ahead 11-10, I said, "Okay, I'm going to cause a breather here and just take a deep breath and realize the opportunity that was in front." So when they stood around, and I said, "You guys have earned this opportunity. Go out and do the things that we talked about in the first game, the fourth game, and do it now. Go out and attack them. Serve, attack them. Coach Wagner is going to call a great finish to this game, and he's going to put you in a position that's going to be successful." And I felt he did. I said, "Back line, you got to make sure you're covering every hit, know where number eight is, and then just let the man above take care of you, and just play the way we know you've seen in practice." And, you know, sometimes when you get down, you can see in their eyes, if you don't feel like they're a confident team, that, oh, there's a little bit deer in the headlight. But not any of them. It was Elsa saying, "This is for our right to go to state." You know, you have Kaylee just reaching with her eyes to everybody and saying, "We've got this. Let's go do what we know we can do." And it's like they're reiterating things that we've said to them during practice all year. So when we came out of that and we tied it right away, it's like I looked at John. I said, "You know, Coach Wagner," I said, "They're fine. They're fine." And we didn't have to scream at him. We just said, "Try this. Let's make sure we do this." And we got to give them suggestions and let them just go out and play the game. And then when we pulled ahead, I said, "They're fine. They've got it." And then, of course, we get down to Elsa, you know, obviously being back there. And I think they called a timeout. And I don't know if it was 11-11, 12-11. I think they called a timeout. That's been such a long time ago. But the only thing we said, we're in the right position to end with the group that's on the floor in this rotation. This rotation is gonna put us over the top. And that's all I said. And then when they went out, and Elsa just challenged them with the serve, and we had to pick up a couple of digs, you know. But when we got to 13-11. John, Coach Wagner says, "Watch this. I'm setting him up." And he set him up on the last two serves. He challenged the left back and the middle back. And each time they really kind of didn't talk to each other, because we could just sense that they were kind of backing up on passes. And then John got to the last one. He said, "Hey, this one's going to be short, and it's going to be where they've got to fight." And sure enough, it was there, and they did, and they shanked it. And, of course, I don't get very excited, because some people want to know, "Why don't you get excited about things?" I said, "Well, inside I'm excited. I showed some emotion, and you guys shot that video, and here I am standing up, and I'm acting like Rocky in front of Coach Wagner, just punching him. So hopefully I'm not hitting him. I didn't hit him. And then I just kind of shoved him in the chest. I said, "You got to be kidding me. What a great call." And coaching staff was happy, and, you know, and we shook hands, but there really wasn't anything we said. The girls all said it. We just said, "We're fine. Go win it." And again, we talked before. If you got kids that can coach themselves on the floor, that is the best time to be a coach, because you've done it already during practice. And that's where we're at right now, getting ready for next Tuesday.
Coach, we'll preview the Red Oak game with you in the pregame coming up on Tuesday, but I do want to get some quick thoughts from you here. Your initial thoughts of getting a rematch with Red Oak, who nipped you in a Hawkeye 10 conference match without Brianna Wittrock, but they got you 3-2 earlier this season. Thoughts on getting that rematch?
We talked about that before the regional final, and the girls thought, "Well, who do you think we're going to play?" And I said, "It doesn't matter who we play. I said, but if they go off a ranking and off the last rankings, and if everybody ahead of us makes it, I said, you're going to play Reynolds. And it's the same way every year. We always do before it happens. But Reynolds will be your team. And it was like, yeah, that's good. They want that. And so as soon as they found out, it was they're excited for their second opportunity. And then we say that because, as you said, we didn't really get our butts kicked. It was close games, and we were without Brianna. And I believe adding Brianna in there, they've gotten better. I guarantee they've gotten better. We've gotten better. It's going to be a great atmosphere for us to approach each other. And, of course, you talking to Coach Montgomery from Red Oak, it's like, well, we could have just met somewhere in the middle of Atlantic and just played the match and not down there. And I said, no, I'd rather be down there where the kids can experience the win or lose, experience the state tournament appeal. But that was kind of a joking kind of a conversation. But the kids are, they are, you know, you wonder after a hard-fought battle, do you give them the day off? And, you know, it's their team, so we asked them how they felt, and they were tired. But, you know, do you want to take the day off? No, coach, we want to practice. And so they've come in and practiced. And the only day that we really took off was on Friday, because that's to go celebrate the boys playing. And we'll practice again Monday. But we're at that part where there's a sense of, I don't want to call it swagger. I'm just going to say they feel very good about their opportunity. You know, they know they're going to have to fight, but they like their opportunity.
Well, Coach, as always, we enjoy talking to you. Looking forward to seeing you down at Coralville coming up on Tuesday. Congratulations again, and thanks for joining us.
Well, again, thank you very much. And you and I always enjoy talking to you. But I am going to take this Saturday. I'm going to celebrate a young daughter, a young granddaughter's birthday. She'll turn 6, hard to believe. And then I get to go trick-or-treating. And not that I'll be dressed up, but it'll be a blast to watch them enjoy themselves. But again, you and I talk about it. Family is where it's at. And that's when I get that chance, I got to steal it away from what I want out of life. So, but you enjoy your Saturday, and thanks again for everything you do.
You bet, and enjoy the grandkids and going trick-or-treating. Head Coach Rusty Wintermote again with the Kemper Volleyball Team. Back with more of the Peach Ranch Coaches Show next year on KCIM.
Hey, moms and dads out there, let Pizza Ranch make feeding your family fun and affordable. Every Tuesday night, kids 12 and under eat free. Whether they love the pizza, chicken, or mac and cheese, you'll make them all happy. When you're on the go with sports, church, or, well, just life, come in for a quick and delicious buffet. The best part is, they'll do the dishes. Pizza Ranch makes family meals fun and fast. For delivery or carryout, call 792-3456. Pizza Ranch, just off Highway 30 in Carroll.
Oh, that's good.
I'm Dee Swenson, and I am running to be the next mayor of Carroll. I am deeply dedicated to our community and passionate about helping Carroll grow and thrive. As your mayor, I will ensure your voice is heard through clear, open communication, and transparent leadership. Together, we can build a stronger, more connected Carroll. I am asking for your vote on November the 4th. Together, we are Carroll. Thank you. I'm Dee Swenson, candidate for mayor.
Paid for by Carroll Citizens for Common Sense Government.
Jeff Blackman talking here today with Deb Danner. She joins us here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. The Tiger Girls swim team coming off outstanding performance down in Perry earlier this week on Tuesday night. Coach, appreciate you joining us here today. And I tell you what, congratulations. You said last week that you were going to give a little reprieve to the girls on Monday ahead of that meet. It sounded like it worked out.
Yeah, absolutely. It worked out. The girls had a fantastic meet and came home with a couple of wins. So, yeah, they're real happy about it, and I'm happy about it. And so, yeah, it's been good. And then it was right back to business the very next day. So,
yeah, you had just 6 girls go down. Is that going to be around the numbers, or will you get a couple of girls back before you guys head into the postseason here in a couple of weeks?
Well, I'm pretty sure I got one back for sure. Not sure on the other one yet.
Okay.
So, so Sam is back with us again, and hopefully we'll have Mady back also. But we'll wait and see how that goes.
Reason I bring that up, 6 girls, you beat a team that had 11 and 14. So I get the sense you were really proud of the way they went down and competed.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, they went down. We couldn't even fill out a full lineup for that meet, and they still did a fantastic job. They swam their hearts out, and yeah, you know, come back looking good, and they were very proud of themselves.
Tell me about what stood out for you for each of the six girls that were able to swim for you, because you look at it, it's pretty much all first and second places all the way through, so you kind of dominated the night.
Yeah, you know, told them that this is what's going to have to happen in order to win, and you know, they wanted it, so, you know, we went in and just did the best we could. The girls swam some great times. Ava Hynode had a great 100 freestyle. Finally broke a minute. She was just thrilled with that, you know, and we've talked about this in the past, you know, when one girl does very well, it just kind of sparks the rest of the team to, you know, match that performance. So, and they did, they swam some excellent races, and, you know, we had a great time. Briley Barron swam an excellent 100 butterfly, and, you know, it, just all around, we swam some really good times.
Relays for you then, how do you switch things up when you're so limited with kids? Because like you said, you can't fill out a full lineup. So did you change your relays much, or did everything kind of work out for you with your relays?
It all just kind of worked out for us. But yeah, we're still kind of playing with the relays. We're getting kind of late in the season for this, but
yeah.
Here we are, still playing with the relays. But yeah, you know, and they knew these last three meets were going to determine what the relays are going to end up looking like. You know, they've all had their opportunities to show me what they can do. And, you know, they're all going through the same workouts. They all are tired, just like each other. So, you know, it's been fair competition to hit a relay spot. So, you know, hopefully we get the right relays put together and we make it to state.
Coach, I look at what Alexa Sporkowski did for you the other night. Was this her best meet of the year so far?
Yeah, you know, she swam the 200 freestyle. Not thrilled about that, but she swam a personal best there. You know, it was great to see that. She swam on the medley relay, did very well there. You know, kept the relay right up where it needed to be. Swam breaststroke, you know, swam an excellent time there. Went a 120, I believe, her best time. So, yeah, you know, she's doing very well. She had a fantastic meet, you know, and her relay split was excellent. So, you know, yep, she's in the running for those relays, and yeah, they're making this really hard for me. So
you like that though, right? Yeah. You're making it hard on them in practice. They want to make it hard on you and making the choices, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's a good problem.
Coach, you mentioned in the email with the results to me that the relay exchanges were spot on. I'm assuming the best that they've looked all year.
Yeah, they're finally figuring out these relay exchanges. They're getting them nice and tight. We had a few issues up at Sioux City. Well, I guess one issue with the early takeoff, and we got that figured out now. So. You know, they know what's going to happen if they go early. They know what's going to happen if they don't go early enough. And, you know, they lose a spot on a relay if they're too slow off the block. So, you know, they really, really paid attention to their relay exchanges during warm up. And, yeah, they looked very good.
The other thing that jumped out me, you kind of were really excited about how the turns looked and how fast they were. Is that something that you guys have worked on, or what stood out for you about the turns?
Yeah, I'm always on them at practice about, you know, attacking the turns, going in fast, coming out fast, not breathing in and out of flags. So they're finally figuring it out that they know that they gotta come in fast. There's no more just kind of gliding in, and watching other teams swim, they can see what advantage that is to go in fast, come out fast. So yeah, it helps to have some good competition to kind of show them where our weaknesses are and what we need to do to fix those.
As the girls jumped back into the pool for practice, on Wednesday and then on Thursday, as you were ratcheting back up the toughness and stuff of these practices, did the success from Tuesday night kind of parlay into, hey, we're coming off a really good meet. We're now excited to put in that work?
Yes and no. Wednesday was fine. Thursday, things got a little rougher, but our yardage went up also, and they're finding out that this is a really tough week. But once we hit Monday and we start our taper, Monday, but Tuesday, they're going to start feeling better, and, it'll get better and better as the week goes on. So, most of these girls are new to this, so they really don't know what to expect, and they can only express what they're feeling at the moment.
Which is probably a lot of pain and soreness. So I know you talk about yardage. What is the yardage right now, and what will it drop to next week as you start to taper?
Yeah, so, we're hitting around 6,000 yards. So they're handling it as well as can be expected, and it's tough. And then, so next week, just every day we drop the yardage down a little bit, and everything just kind of depends on how I feel like they're looking, how they're doing, on what kind of yardage we end up swimming.
Coach, you got, the state qualifying meet coming up on November the 8th. You guys are going to be over in Ames for that one. What are you looking at there? And then it looks like Thursday as well, you're down at Johnston. So what are you hoping to see? And actually, Johnston, I think, is just the diving, if I remember correct, right?
Right. Yep. So we won't be there for that.
You won't be. So what are you looking for next weekend? And who are the teams over there in Ames that are going to challenge you?
All of them. They're all going to challenge us. It's going to be a good meet. Obviously Ames is there. Linmar is there. Perry will be there. So we'll get to see them again.
Sioux City, right?
Sioux City is there. They always prove to be really good competition for us. There'll be Cedar Rapids. Jefferson will be there. Never seen them. So, it'll be a new one for us to kind of go up against. But everybody's going to be exactly where we are, coming off of their taper, just looking for those time drops. And we're just going to be right there in the mix, dropping time with them and just trying to hit some qualifying times.
So you got a week to figure out your relays is what you're telling me.
I have, less than a week to figure out my relays.
Well, Deb, I wish you the best of luck with that. I know you'll get it figured out because you put in probably more work on stuff than any coach in any sport. So we appreciate you joining us here today. Best of luck coming up next week, and we look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Great. Thank you.
You bet. Head coach Deb Danner again joining us here on the Peach Ranch Coaches Show on this Saturday morning. We're back right after this on KCIM.